If we survive for the next 12 hours, we will have made the meeting. Hopefully that my voice will keep up. Our health has been good. We have been treated kindly, and we have been going every minute of the day. We've just had to cut things in. And so it is so good to see you and to be with the core this morning, the class. These are the names that I see in the bulletin. And when I get it, I read everything down the front and then the back. And we appreciate Brother Matt's articles and Brother Williams keeping the bulletin together. And we know who is serving. And it's so wonderful to see you continuing to serve. This morning, we will have a prayer. And before we get into that prayer, Brother Anthony Washington is one of the folks that has driven over. Sister Joyce came all the way from Hayward. We have Sister Loretta from San Mateo, and is it James and Estelle?
Yes.
From Riverside. But before we go into our lesson, Brother Washington, lead us in prayer, please.
Our Almighty God and Holy Father in heaven, we come before thy throne, O God, with great thanksgiving in our hearts and love towards you, our Lord and Savior Jesus, Father, as we are in the Holy Spirit this morning. We thank you so much for allowing us this opportunity, this day, this first day of the week, to be able to gather as your children in your presence, Father, to honor you and the great blessings you bestow upon us, Father, by coming to you in prayer. Forgive us of our sins, Father. Help our minds to be cleared of any evil thoughts, words, or actions that our minds might entertain. We ask, Father, that we be able to stand before you purely and wholly as we speak to you. We thank you so much, Father, for this gathering here at the airport congregation. We thank you for the success of the past few days of the meetings that have occurred. We pray your blessings upon the Brother Fikes and all in service this day. As we honor you, Father, we thank you so much for blessing us in our lives. We thank you for the things that you give us, our daily food, our homes, our clothing, and how you allow us to prosper. And as we receive your word and give ear to it this day, Father, may we make the proper and necessary application in our lives to do all that we can to follow it closely so we do not miss out on its blessings, the wisdom, Father, which will all guide us to leading us to heaven, to where we deserve and hope to be with you, Father, when our lives come to an end. We ask your blessings upon the leadership here, and as the day progresses, we ask for your blessings that in everything that is done, all be done in order and according to your will. In the name of Jesus, we offer up our prayers to you. Amen.
Amen. In the class, we want you to comment, and there are many things that I'd like to talk about, but let me give you, start out, a basis of some things that we will look at, and we will not be able to cover near all of those items that I have in mind to talk about. This morning, and I did not see a bulletin, do you? Could I use yours just a minute? I gave Brother Chen the subject, Enemies of the Home. Now, you may think that, where did you see that? But I think when I connect it all together, you'll see. Enemies of the Home. That is those things that fight against the home, the family, as we know it, and all of their responsibilities. We've just but touched the hem of the garment as far as the family is concerned. We talked about God's divine plan for a mother and a father, a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, and children born into that family with the training to teach those children that are coming into the world and for them to teach their children about God. That was God's plan, and God would bless that. And he did and has. But when man strays, he did not. Secondly, we talked about the husbands and some of the responsibilities. And then last night we talked about the wives. And so this morning, I want to talk about what we're fighting. The first thing, and I don't know that you could find this in any particular book, but over a period of time, as I have tried to observe, what is keeping us from being what God wants us to be? People often ask me, why is it that the church is not growing? Well, it's not growing for the very same reason that society is breaking down. Now, I'm not going to take your time to have a bunch of quotes, but let me just say that the Roman Empire, the greatest empire that lasted for about 500 years, maybe a little more, when the Roman Empire fell, it fell from within. No power could take it from out without. Now here's what happened. When the Roman Empire fell, and at the height of its decline before it just disintegrated, you could buy a baby for a few cents. They literally would go and take a baby, some of them, and others didn't, just killed it. They'd take it and lay it on somebody's doorstep. The soldiers, many times, would get these babies, and then they would train them up to serve the government. Life had no value. Now, when we get to that point, we're in bad shape. And so they routinely killed babies in abortion and other means. And the society of the home, father and mother, men and women and children, deteriorated. When the cities of Pompeii were destroyed by Vesuvius, the historically known earthquake that eruption that just spewed up and melted the people where they were. They found on the walls, now this was history many several years ago, maybe a few centuries ago, the scenes on the walls were so degrading and so disgusting that the excavators, when they would excavate in the cities of Pompeii, they would put sheets on the wall to shield them from their workers. So corruption and perversion was known in the Roman Empire. And nobody had to conquer them. They just fell and collapsed. And whoever got there first, as the saying might be, got the early bird got the worm. Now, when society comes to everybody, note down Judges chapter 21 and verse 25. This statement is said at least two or three times. It's in 17 and verse 6. The Bible says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, when that occurs, you will have number one cause. Of the downfall of our homes, of everything, is ignorance of God. They do not know. They do not consider. Now let me go back in the time of the Pharaohs. You recall that God's people were in Egypt. And Joseph was sold there. And the old Pharaoh dreamed a dream and nobody could tell it. And somebody reminded him that there was Joseph. And they said that, you know, he can tell what the gods are going to do. And so they brought Joseph to Pharaoh. And he said, I've dreamed this dream. Can you tell it? Nobody in Egypt could do it. The providence of God, obviously, was at work. He had dreamed that he had seen seven cows come up out of the river. And they were skinny. And they ate other cows and they never got fat. And then he saw the grain. And he was extremely puzzled. And Joseph told him, he said, there's going to be 7 years of plenty. And then there's going to be 7 years that's nothing. And what you need to do is the 7 years of plenty for your crops, you need to store it all up. Historians or archaeologists actually have found huge grain bins in those areas to store grain. Pharaoh realized that he was the savior in that manner of Egypt. And so he made him second to him in command. And they stored it up. And when the famine came, Egypt was the only place that had anything for the people to have. And by and by there came Jacob and the 12, his other brothers, Joseph's other brothers who had lived in Canaan. They heard about the grain. They came there. And ultimately, you know the story that they were reintroduced to their brother Joseph. He gave them the land of Goshen, the old king Pharaoh did, and they prospered for many years. And the Bible says, there came a Pharaoh to the throne that knew not Joseph. That is, he did not respect Joseph. He didn't care what Joseph had done for Egypt. And so they made the burdens harsh on the people. Now, when a society forgets God and does not know God, they will go into all kinds of trouble. This doesn't matter where we're talking about marriage. It doesn't matter where we're talking about religion. Anything. When men and women forget God, they can't survive very long. Turn with me now into the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was called the Messianic prophet. For what reason? Why is Isaiah called the Messianic prophet? Okay, he prophesied about Christ. But in that prophecy, he also foretold other events. In the 5th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and verse 13. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity for a lack of knowledge. Their honorable men are famished, and their multitude are parched with thirst. Therefore, Sheol hath enlarged its desire, and opened its mouth without measure, and their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp. And he that rejoiceth among them descendeth into it. Now the point was here, he says that my people have gone into captivity for a lack of knowing me. When they quit knowing God, God let the enemies come around them. And then he depicted the great and the small, just like a huge opening, a crack in the earth, if you will, picture it, just swallowed up everybody, the nobles and all. Why? Because they forgot God. And then what happened? Their enemies took over and controlled them. In the book of Hosea, chapter 4, and, or, well, let's look in chapter 5 while we're there, in the book of Isaiah, and verse 20. Somebody read Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Woe then to those that call good evil. I had someone to tell me, it's been at least 20 years ago. He said, "Don't you think, Wendell, that it is much better to abort these little babies, to kill them, than to let them grow up and grow in the alleys and live like dogs on the street with nobody to care for them?" No. They call that good. It is good to destroy them so that we don't have to feed them, so that they won't grow up and take the resources that we have, so that they won't grow up and maybe not have anybody to care for them. Woe to those that call good and evil. They look at it and they think, this is good, but it's very evil. Then they look at darkness and say, oh, it's so light. And they look at something that is so bitter and they say, that's so sweet. They are perverse. Turn to the book of Jeremiah. To the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5 and verse 30. Isaiah, Jeremiah, chapter 5 and verse 30. Now, this is a state of how the people get in. And this verse tells us, and someone read it, Jeremiah 5 and verse 30, if you will, and 31.
"An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority. And my people love it so. But what will you do at the end of it?"
And that says it. You don't have to be a scholar to understand that. All of these things are going on. The prophets are prophesying falsely. Oh, that's so great. Now, why did he say that? The people love it because it doesn't bother them. People want a religion that they don't have to change the way they live. They want a doctrine that's not going to affect what they do from day to day. And so, ignorance. Go to Hosea 4 and verse 6, somebody, and read that one. And then we will go to a couple of verses in the New Testament and then pass on to another point. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6.
"My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being priest for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget your children."
My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now there's two key words. In Isaiah, let me not be spelled right, captivity. For the lack of knowledge, the enemies just came and overran them. For a lack of knowledge, they are destroyed. Now God allowed them to be destroyed. They, in a sense, destroy themselves because we don't want God anymore. And so, ignorance is what's causing us so much problem. There are many good people that will tell you, "I don't like what's going on," but they don't know anything to stop it. They're not willing to begin to try to control it. Now let's go to the New Testament. In John 8 and verse 32, the Bible says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall" what? "Set you free." Now, here is the answer to this difficult situation. The truth will set men free. If we stay with God, you remember Noah? The Bible said Noah found grace, or God found grace, in the eyes of Noah. Noah saved his wife, his three sons, and their wives from drowning in the flood. Why? One reason, because Noah didn't reject the knowledge of God in his life. Now, this ignorance leads to the next phase as far as control. I'm a poor drawer. Let's let that represent a snake. If you want to kill the snake and stop it, you cut the head off. Now you can cut back here and he'll bite you and he'll kill you, or you can cut up here and he's still wiggle enough to kill you. Ignorance is what is killing us. Now what are we going to do about it? We've got to turn it around and begin teaching about God. You remember when the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, and they had a detailed command of God of worship. Remember, they had to kill the Passover lamb, and God gave numerous regulations about that. And every year they had to keep that, kill that Passover lamb when it came that time, and to represent their atonement, to let them know that this God that we serve brought us out of Egypt. Now, later on, the Bible says that God came to the leaders and said, when your children come to you and ask you, why are you doing this? In about Leviticus or Exodus 19. God said, you tell them that our fathers were slaves in Egypt, and God with a mighty hand delivered us from Egyptian bondage. And God said, you shall teach it to your children when they rise up, when they walk in the way, when they lay down at night and sleep. Deuteronomy chapter 6. So what do? We teach our little children about marriage, about the sins that are against it, that they need to know what marriage is. Now, this came about, our state came about, because we don't know. In the 60s, there was a lady by the name of Madeline O'Hare, down in Texas, an atheist. And she was instrumental, almost single-handed, of getting prayer and God's name out of the schools. Simultaneously that, those of you that are old enough to remember, along at the same time when this radical rejection of God bunch, they were a few of them, but they were loud. And she went to Washington. She didn't care. As long as she got what she wanted, she didn't care if anybody attended her meeting. She had a meeting down in the Jack Tar Hotel. They rented a great, and when we were living here, they rented a big space. It was the formerly Jack Tar Hotel. I don't know what it is now. It may have been torn down on Van Ness Avenue. And there was, they talked about only about 25 people showed up for a convention of the atheists. And you say, how did she have such influence? Because she appealed to a group of people that did not know God. And they said, yes, it's not good to pray to this God. That's ancient. And she got God out of the school. And you know what happened? In the school came the guns and everything else. And so all of these things happened because men moved away from God. Madeline O'Hare was a victim of her own belief. She did not believe there was a hell. She did not believe there was sin and wrongdoing. And so at least a couple of men went into her business. They stole, she had gold and various things. They took her, kidnapped her, and after several years, they found her bones and a family member or so, and murdered her. But she led this fight to get God's name out of our school system. And now, you could put a sign, a Muslim brochure, and put a brochure about Jesus, and the brochure about Jesus has got to go. The Muslim will stay. Why? Number one, because they are preying on the ignorance of the people. Mohammed never died for anybody. Mohammed never arose from the dead. Mohammed never went to heaven and said, do what I say, and where I am, you can come. It is the difference between error and truth, and they prey on error. You see, when they see Jesus Christ, that says to them, there is a God. There is somebody that's worthy to worship. They know that Mohammed, in many senses, was a crook. He was very evil. And they know that he can't do anything, but they do know that Jesus, they just read history, that the Bible has survived all these years. In fact, some of the things in the Quran are corrupted copies of things in the Bible, because that's the only way that they could find some of those things, and then he perverted it in the Quran. So ignorance preys on people. That they did not know who Joseph was, and they enslaved the people of Israel again. Secondly, the enemy of the home, that's number one, and number two is and all the others. It is media unleashed without any restrictions to do whatever they want to. Now, there's nothing wrong in preaching the gospel on TV. There's nothing wrong in watching some TV. The internet is good. You can get lots of information. The iPod and all of these things that you can do is you can keep up with other people. You can keep up with Facebook. I hear about you all the time, those that communicate with Stephen on Facebook. But now here, watch it. This uncontrolled can do all sorts of damage. As far as I know, and I don't know how to do the Facebook or anything, but you can put anything, as far as I know, that you decide to put on there. Now, you may get in trouble with some of it, but you put it on there. It's uncontrolled media information fed by Satan himself. All of these. One night last week before we came down, I was listening to a family radio program, AFR, and that's about all we get. We couldn't even get the Super Bowl hardly on radio. It's a different climate there. We had it on TV, but anyway, some group of the media of television. Now, they're doing it to compete with the internet, which is uncontrolled. You can get pornography. You can get anything that you can think of on these media. Now, the problem is, notice my word. And when this lesson goes out, I'm not against the internet. I use it. But it's the uncontrolled things that people put on and that children have access to and adults have access to. Several years ago, a good brother came forward and he said, I got on the internet and I got involved in all of this. The corruption, brothers and sisters, is unthinkable. It is unfathomable how much that goes on that people feed their minds with through these mediums. The mediums themselves are nothing wrong. I use the internet virtually every day. And we see news. The adult Bible class teacher of the congregation where we go has been an anchor, news anchor, at 12 noon and at 6 o'clock in the evening for 25 years. One of the finest men that you'll ever meet. A great Bible class teacher. And now a personal friend. I sort of feel out of place when I walk up and talk to him, you know, because everybody that sees any news in that whole viewing area pretty much knows him if they've ever seen any news. And so those things are good. But it's the things that come on. And some group had gone to the FCC or whatever controls it and says, we need more nudity on television. We need more. Well, they're trying to compete with the internet and some of the other things that has no control, that you can get anything on it. And so people's minds feed on it. Now, what happens? Ignorance comes along. They don't know. They're not taught. And so the TV, the internet, and printed page. And they have the money. At the Super Bowl, who do you think generally, now this is my opinion, has the best commercials? You know Bud? Yeah. I mean, those are commercials that people remember. Alcoholic drink. And yet they try to make it look good and, you know, get you a driver and all of that. But you see, they lead people and they catch people. As Judges said, every man does that which is right in his own mind. Nobody to say no. No rules. They don't know and they do not want any rules. And so the printed page. This is February 2012, and I want to show you an advertisement. Now let's go to number 3. We don't have but just a moment on it. These ignorants, all of these are enemies of the home. And the third one, with emphasis on agenda. Do you know what an agenda is? How many of you know what an agenda is? Hold up your hand. Somebody tell me what, in your viewpoint, an agenda is. Pardon?
Plan.
A plan. Anybody else have?
It's a predetermined plan or decision to lean in one direction.
I like that, except I'd like to add to that. Watch it now. This is important. A predetermined plan to go in this direction at any cost. Now, when I say the homosexual agenda, there are three things that's in this agenda. 1, 2, 3. Here they are. They are determined to do it. Irregardless of what you think. Up in your face, they're going to do that. But you already know that. Number 2, they don't want you to say anything about it. And if you do say anything about it, they'll charge you with a hate crime, Brother Stu.
Yeah, instead of saying to lean in one direction, it should have been clarified more to gain acceptance of the mass.
And that's it. The agenda is to gain the acceptance of the mass. And here's what they've done. They've been doing it. They got domestic partners passed a long time ago. Well, what is that? Well, that women can live with women, and they've, even here in California, at least before I moved away, and I don't think it's probably changed, you got insurances, and they wanted all of these things. And now, well, why not leave it alone? No, no, no. They want to get married. They don't want you to say anything about it. Now, thirdly, they want you to accept it. Not only do they not want you to say anything about it, they want you to accept it. They do not want you to say one word if two men come in with a baby about, well, where's the mama? They resent that to the point that they now have enough people that have been appointed that are perverts in our justice system, in our senators, in Washington, of both sides of the aisle, and anything else in between, all the way up to the executive branch, to the judicial branch, and to the legislative branch. They're open and out and want you to accept it. Now, how are they going to do it? They're going to go back here in the media. First of all, they want to get control of that so that you can't say anything about it, and then they can use whatever they want to do. I want you to look. Here is a surrogate for treatments. That is, somebody else to have a baby. I want you to look who they're doing this for. Here is a woman and a little baby. Here is a couple with a little baby. Here are two men with a little baby. They want you to treat them just like this one here. Presumably this is God's plan. We're not talking about something that occurred 6 months ago. This is February 2012. Now, the media that won't let this bunch with this agenda right here print it, they have millions of dollars. And they know exactly who is on the Supreme Court and who is on the Ninth Court of Appeals, the third or the second or whatever it is down in Atlanta, the one here in San Francisco, and I think there's another one somewhere else. They know exactly who that they can appeal to and get their vote. And folks, we don't have many things to fight back with. We don't have virtually all the religions put together. Don't have the money that they have. You see, they don't care about trampling on anybody as long as they get it. Now, notice the three things they want. They've already been doing it. They want totally accepted in marriage. They want to be treated just like Doris and me in every fashion. And thirdly, they want everybody to go out and preach that is all right. And the first person that comes up and says that's not, he's charged with hate, he's charged with discrimination, and they will ruin him because they have this agenda. While we've been here, I seldom ever listen to him, but Pat Robertson is an older fella, and he's had the 700 Club for a long time. He was kicked off the air last Saturday. A lady, she said, I'm not a, She said, she told the denomination that she was standing right here at the wedding. She said, thank you for saying that. I decided to put that in. And the couple that don't want to, you know, really subscribe to God, then I can still love them, but maybe they'd need to get somebody else. You know, if they don't want God's plan in that marriage. And I know what I said sometimes is a little different yesterday. But unless we start teaching. Now, here's the conclusion. First of all, I beg you, every member here, and we're not talking about people, if you're not married yet, or if you have been, these are things you can do. You teach anybody in your family that you can teach, have them to read Romans 1 about all the perversion. And I've run out of time. I want you to look up, and we have plenty of tracts that teach that abortion is wrong, that these things are wrong. I want you to own your own. And then I want the leadership of the airport church, and I know it, they will buy the things that you need to take home. And I want mom and dad. And if there isn't a mom and dad, if there's a dad and children, if there's a mom and children, whatever the situation is, I want you to begin next week. This is the only way we'll survive. To learning what God wants you to know about His Word regarding marriage. Now, there are files of it. The two best things is the book that I talked about last night, and I would encourage the church to spend money to get it in every family's hand, because it's got all the scriptures. It's outlined very well on the role of the home. All of these things that I've talked about are against it. And this was written in 1979, so it's a good book. So start teaching. I would encourage you in your vacation Bible school this year, not next year, I would encourage you to sit down and to find somebody that could write some beautiful material about a mother that's a woman and a father that's a man, and stress woman and man, and show the little children what it is for mother and daddy, and get them to get right back as fundamental as you can make it. It is not difficult. Anybody here can teach it. But you're going to have to get that and start teaching it in vacation Bible schools every year, because the children go from one class to another. Every year, talk about what the Bible says about the home, and praise their mom and dads for taking care of them, for buying them things, for bringing them to worship, and teach them. That's the only way the church is going to survive. Now, this final word. We are rapidly coming to a time in America. This agenda can be changed around to no churches in America. There are a number of people that would like no religion as you and I know it. I mean, Muslim would be all right, perhaps, with them. But no religion as you know it. I'm talking about no Baptist, no Methodist, no Catholic. And the way they're going to do it, it's already in the agenda. Is they're going to squeeze, and they're going to tax you so much that you can't afford the building. So where are we going to be? We'll survive. But we won't have this as we know it. But if you teach, here's the thing. You teach your children, and they teach their children, and you teach your grandchildren, so that they will know, and they'll be able to survive, some of them. So there's going to be a great persecution. We can't just stop our ears to these things. I thank you for listening. Let's have a closing prayer. And...